Dear brothers and sisters in Christ who are saints. Again, the definition of that means believers. And when we talk saints triumphant, of course, we're remembering those that we love who have gone ahead of us into eternity. How do you like coming to church? Does it make you feel not only uplifted, or do you really crave it? Is it a happy, joyful thing for you? As I said in Bible class, every one of us has had a day when somebody said, let's go to the house of the Lord, and we said, ah, really? So, you know, if I ask you this next question, put it into that context. How do you feel about going to heaven? Do you know that many people, when surveyed, feel that it's kind of like a long, drawn-out worship service, hard chairs and masks we're trying to sing? Whew. Well, I mean, you know, we don't want to go to hell, but we're not quite sure we want to go to heaven if it's going to be one long singing worship service. You know, there are some people who just assume we didn't sing as much as we do. But Jesus assures us that is not what being in his presence is like. That's not what heaven's going to be. It'll have some of that in it, but oh, so much more. And today we talk about the destination. Let God be our destination. Not just heaven, but God. So on page 12, you'll find my outline. I call them sermon notes. And we're going to go through 3 points there on our way. I want you to also, along with me, develop a sense of longing for being in God's presence, for getting home, and looking forward to the journey. Let God be our destination. This is a psalm of pilgrimage, one of my favorites. And what that means is that once a year, Israel would go up to Jerusalem to worship, to bring their not only sacrifices, but also their praise, their presence. It was a time when they put God at the highest level. It's called a psalm of pilgrimage because it was sung while they were on the journey up there. Now, you know, music makes the long trip go faster, right? Have any of you driven from here to one of the coasts? Like, you drive from here to Florida, and that's a long trip. Usually, it means that you need to pass the time. And that's what they did. They sang this psalm because they didn't have Wi-Fi on their donkeys or Sirius radio. Let God be our destination. First, we learn to long for him. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. The term soul, nephesh, is a Hebrew term that talks about the deepest part of us. The unseen, really inner desire. The person. And then it says that this person within me cries out. And I think we can relate to that, especially if you have babies around. Any newborn infant, that when they get hungry, when this thing speaks to them, they cry out with their whole person. They need their, they just grip like it's going to come apart. They shake their whole body. They scream from their diaphragm. And you hear them because they are crying out for attention. That's what the soul needs to do. Worship is so much more than being on a gym floor. It's crying out to God and telling him that we need to be with you. We want to be by you. Take it this way. If you were only outside once every 10 years, can you imagine being locked indoors? And during a summer, beautiful summer day, you got to go outside and breathe the air. And then the next day, you started a 10-year imprisonment. Can you imagine how you would feel? As the day came, you would rejoice, like David did when he said, I rejoice. They said, let's go to the house of the Lord. It's this wonderful feeling, and I know I'm a pastor. I've seen it because I've been watching body language for nearly 40 years. Most of us don't come to church and go like, wow, this is the greatest part of my entire week, but it should be, right? It should be that we are longing for it. And the only thing bad about going to church is that we have to wait a whole nother week before we go again. So the desire of the heart. How do we get there? Well, he says, even the sparrow has found a home and the swallow a nest for herself where she may have her young, a place near your altar. He is actually jealous of the bird. Well, there were courtyards around the temple. And in those courtyards, there would be those trusses, and guess where the birds would lay their nests and lay their eggs. In fact, among the Israelites, there had become a tradition that if God had allowed a bird in that close, then they were under his complete protection. You could say they were in his sanctuary. Does that make sense? Protective place. But what I want you to catch, you probably won't immediately see in this verse, he says, near your altar. In the courtyard, there was an altar. Do you know what it was for? For other animals, not the birds. On that altar of sacrifice, bulls and sheep and lambs and goats would be slain and their blood poured out to give a payment for sin. So here it is, that the birds are in complete peace nearby where there is a payment for sin. And I hope you catch it in your own life, that when the world is falling apart, when we're surrounded by death and destruction, violence, sickness, famine, war, that we are nevertheless safe in the arms of Jesus. It is a psalm of tender intimacy, intimate emotional connection with God. And we don't know what this writer, because we're not even sure who wrote it, sounds a lot like David, what this writer had on his mind. Maybe he had marital troubles. Maybe he had financial woes and didn't know where the next check was going to come from. Maybe he had a child who had strayed away from church and away from God. Maybe he had just lost his job and didn't know how he would provide. Or maybe he had illness, had COVID and didn't know what it was. Well, this writer is going to remind us we don't have to worry about life anymore. And I think that's where we find our weakness. Instead of getting near to God and worshiping, we worry, we stew about things that only he can handle. Verse 4, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. So his thought seems to be this. If the birds get to stay there and make their nests there, why couldn't I? Why couldn't I like live there? Well, a few of us get pretty close to living here. A pastor and a staff minister, we're around a lot. And sometimes I enter the church over there at 4 or 5 in the morning as I'm preparing. And I sit and I'm just with God. I see the privilege of that. I probably get the benefit more than anyone else. You know, and in that way, like the bird, maybe we should listen to the psalmist. We need to be near God. It isn't just here, though. It's in connection with his word. It's in our thoughts and our attitudes. And in that way, can you just hear the Jewish song, "If I Were a Rich Man," right? What would I do? I would praise God. I would thank God. So it has to do with our inner desire, our soul. Secondly, we're still traveling. Are we there yet? You know, how often didn't you say that as a kid? Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage. The writer, as much as he wants to be there all the time, realizes that's only for birds and priests or pastors. And so he is going to look at it through another filter. And I offer you this as a suggestion. that when you spend the day thinking about returning to the gift of God and His grace, then you're satisfied. Even when things are out of kilter, you find yourself on a rock, on a firm foundation, because in your head and your heart, you already know God is in charge for my good. Blessed is the one who is gratified and satisfied by God rather than something else. So here comes the natural question. What do we chase after? Do we chase after the weekend so we don't have to work? Or maybe it is like that commercial says, for a Michelob? I mean, you know, people chase up north. They chase these little swimming creatures. Haven't you seen the bumper sticker? I'd rather be fishing. I'm waiting for somebody to make a bumper sticker that says, I'd rather be in worship. I'd rather be at church. We live in Wisconsin. We know everybody wants to go up north to worship, but there's just trees there. And really, there is a joy in assembling with people, the people of God who are thankful and get it, who know that God is a gracious God. And so the psalmist wants us to do this, is to worship God with all our heart. Charles Spurgeon said, "The blessedness of worship belongs not to the half-hearted, listless worshipers, but to those who throw all their energy into it." Now, you may have had this kind of hunger physically, like, I need a hot fudge sundae. And you go through all the preparations, you get it sent in there, and you go like, oh, this is going to be so good. And then you get to the bottom of it, and you go like, oh, what hit me? And since that didn't go so well, you go and you rent a movie. 2 hours later, you're like, why did I waste my time? And if that didn't work well enough, you say, well, now I got to take a vacation. And a week later, you're still not satisfied. Why? Because there's something missing deep within, a craving that is built by God. The hole in the heart is from God. He goes on to say, neither prayer nor praise, nor the hearing of the word will be pleasant or profitable to persons who have left their hearts behind them. So when it gets dry in our life, where do we go? Here he says, as they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. The dry spell needs the Spirit. The place is not so important. Was it a place of oasis or only of water gathered when it rained? Baca is really just a landmark. So what he's saying is, as you travel, you have landmarks. You know you're getting closer. So when they got to this valley, they were closer to the arrival in Jerusalem. Well, you've done that in your life. Maybe your next landmark was confirmation. Then it was graduation. Then it was getting married. Then it's babies. And for some of you, it's beyond grand babies already. You're marking your journey closer to God. And there should be a deep desire to finish the traveling. There are times in our life when we feel all dry inside. And often people will actually turn away from God. The drier they feel, the less they turn to God. They stay away. They say, I just don't feel like God is doing anything for me. And then they come and they open the Word of God and everything changes. It is only God's Spirit and God's Word and God's sacraments that can fill that deep longing. And the saints who are there already went through the same journey. It was a long trip, pilgrimage. The saints triumphant that we remember on this weekend, your father, your mother, your child maybe, and in very deep emotion, saints triumphant is a day when we connect to eternal life. When we think about them, we have to remember they had it hard too. That the journey means that there's often bandits along the way. There's animals that could attack. And there was a worry that something would happen while on the travel. And then we go from strength to strength, he says. till each appears before God in Zion, from rest stop to rest stop. You know how you get a long journey done? One step at a time. From rest stop to rest stop. You go until you have refreshment. You drive until you get out, go to the gas station, go to the bathroom, go and have lunch, and then you drive on. And those are the landmarks along the way that helps us to know we are drawing near to eternity and to triumph. I hope you remember that the greatest pilgrimage was made by Jesus. He came into the world and it was an exhausting trip. Only 33 years, but he was carrying the heaviest burden, the sin of mankind. The journey of Jesus would not end the way ours does, in punishment. And ours is going to end in eternal life because of what he has done. He came to be that sacrifice in Jerusalem on Mount Zion in the place of worship. It is the New Testament that tells us to focus on Jesus. Chapter 12 of Hebrews. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. Because only Jesus will give us the end result of a good journey. And a big part of that travel is praying. Praying that God will keep us safe. He says, hear my prayer, O Lord Almighty. Listen to me. O Lord, look with favor on your anointed one. Like the story of the Good Samaritan who would take care of the man that was beaten and abused, who fell into the hands of robbers and then was left for dead. That's what we pray, is Lord, don't let anything rob me of my relationship with you. And then finally, we will one day live with him. It's the goal to get there. And he says, better is one day in your courtroom as a doorkeeper at the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. More than 1,000 others. Now you have this contrast, don't you? A very lowly volunteer position versus the tents of the wicked, which means having servants and having all that you need. I suppose we'd say the world would make an easy choice. It's kind of the American dream. As we said in Bible class, win the lottery, win a large inheritance, and don't have to work another day in my life because I'm going to have fun. Is that truly where you will find your happiness? There's something in the beauty of this man's description, a doorkeeper. And it's that contrast between what the world is looking for and what he's looking for. He says, better to be a doorkeeper than have all of that without God. So all I want to do is get close to God. Take this home with you and think about what you're really looking for, chasing after, what brings you satisfaction. It is in this psalm that you can grow in awareness of where the good comes from, of your salvation. It is in this psalm that you may understand what this man did in his life. His name was Bill. So I tell you a story that is quite real. He was a doorkeeper, actually, for 40 years at one of the most known, prestigious apartment complexes in New York. You know, doorkeepers. And he greeted them coming and going. He knew all of the people that had lived there. And even after they moved out, he would still greet them on the street. Well, the day came when the door was squeaking too much and the doorkeeper was sort of out of date, and they replaced him with a revolving door. He was out of a job. Nearly 70 years old, he got a letter after grieving this for a couple of months from a friend that said, hey, you can still do this. They have an open position for a greeter at Walmart. And he just shook his head and he goes, oh, wow, that's a step up. But then he thought about it. What would I rather do? Sit at home and be depressed? So he went, and it just so happened that there was that opening and he got the job. A couple months later, he was so well known because he was so good at it. Everybody loved Bill. Bill greeted them as though they were his best friends. He said their names sometimes when he had learned them. And on this particular afternoon, Bill was in the right place at the right time. He looked out the window, and instead of greeting people for any longer, he bolted out the door. Laying in the parking lot was a baby kicking and screaming next to his mother, who was face down. He rolled her over and began to do CPR on her. 8 minutes later, when the EMTs got there, they not only gave him a thumbs up, but a big pat on the back, because somebody his age had kept her alive for that long. That was a strenuous exercise. It was about a week and a half later that she came through the doors, and it must not have been this time of mass, because she gave him a big hug. And she said, "Bill, thank you. You saved my life, and you allowed me to have time with my baby. I want to see my baby grow up." Think about what it means to have a Savior. It means that all the grace and good things in life come from Him. He is your sun and your shield. He bestows favor and honor. No good thing does He withhold from those whose walk is blameless. And that means that we trust Jesus. And so our destination isn't just getting to a place where we're going to feel good. It's to be in His place. To be with God. God is our destination. O Lord Almighty, blessed is the man who trusts in You. James will say, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. It's like the father running to meet his prodigal son. When you get there, the door will open, the curtain will fling wide open, and Jesus will hug you and welcome you. And then there will be the celebration, all those other loved ones, the saints that have gone before us. If only we could have some one of them come back and tell us what it's like. Couldn't you imagine if I had invited one of our people from the congregation? Let's say Cindy Flood was here every Thursday night, and 6 weeks after discovering a diagnosis of lung cancer, she was gone. She was home in heaven. If Cindy was standing here today and you knew what I've just told you about her, would that impress you? Well, Jesus said this in the parable of the rich man and poor Lazarus. He says, you wouldn't believe it anyway. Go back to the word. Go back to the promises of God and know that they are real. If only we could have the awareness that God is our spiritual GPS target. We need to get Him fixed in our hearts and our minds and realize that being with God is what we really desire. And as we leave today and as we go through the holidays, there will be a joy and a celebration like none other. In fact, you could say, where would you like to be? Where's your ultimate destination? And you might say, well, in heaven or in church or in worship, because really it's where your heart is. God be with us that we have the attitude of the psalmist and we long for His return and our joining with Him forever in heaven. Amen.